Chapter 54. January 13th of year 19. We will be able to reach the base via a hatch, and its entrance measures 1 by 2 meters. From there, a steep set of stairs leads 5 meters down. The stairs are finished, and I have already attached the planking to the side walls. Now we slowly dig ahead horizontally. Adam and Eve carry the excavation material upward. This creates a small hill directly above the planned base, which also increases our shielding. On this hill of dirt, the mushrooms, the ones I have genetically optimized, will grow and add to our protection. That is the plan. Perhaps we did not even need to dig so deep, but who knows if all flares have had the same intensity. The larger part of the task is still ahead of us. We have to excavate 24 cubic meters to create a shelter measuring 3 by 4 meters, with a height of 2 meters. In the high gravity of Proxima B, this means we have to carry about 35 terrestrial tons of material upstairs. Therefore, Adam and Eve are already moaning and groaning a lot. Yesterday they dropped their idea of having separate rooms for each of us, plus a kitchen. I have modified the arms of the robot for better digging. On the right, I now have a heavy steel shovel. On the left, a kind of broom that allows me to sweep the excavated material behind me. It is not hard to move the two arms independently, but I also have to be careful not to fall into human patterns of thinking by watching myself work. Once I realize that I am simultaneously moving forward with my right arm and performing a circular motion with my left, my program fails. At least the high gravity of the planet helps me work. Down here, the soil is considerably more compressed and harder to cut through than farther up. But the planetary gravity also makes it possible to drive my shovel very deep into the soil. However, I have to exert extra effort in lifting the excavated material afterward. I do not experience the work as much of a challenge. It's more a boring chore, because I am sitting for hours in a dark hole, repeating the same movements. Motivating Adam and Eve to continue working does require some effort, although they at least realize there is no alternative. If we do not work diligently, we will not finish in time. I hear an unpleasant grating sound and feel resistance. I pull the shovel out of the soil and see that its tip is bent, meaning it must have hit something hard. This would be the first large stone I've encountered, as the soil so far has been amazingly homogeneous. I try to isolate the stone in order to remove it, but I only manage to do this at the front, to the left and right. In the rear, the stone extends further. It is no use. I have to clear the soil from around the stone so I can evaluate this obstacle. Perhaps we will have to cut through it. No matter how hard the stone is, I somehow will get the better of it. 10 minutes later, I've isolated the stone. It appears to be a kind of beam. I scan it with my X-ray sensor in order to see how deep it reaches into the ground. The beam is at least 12 meters long and is sloping downward at an angle of 20 degrees. The X-ray image also shows me that this obstacle displays relief carvings on the front and sides. I had not noticed them at first, because they were filled in with compressed soil. I use the shovel, gently, as a chisel to remove soil from the embossed shapes. The result is astounding. The shapes look like glyphs carved in relief, maybe a bit like Indus script from the ancient Indian subcontinent on Earth, though the similarities are only superficial. I have to show this to Adam and Eve. "Please come here," I say, calling them over to the spot. "Do you want to complain about something again?" "No, Adam. You've got to see this." "Well, great," Adam says. He's already standing next to me. I forgot he cannot see in the dark like I can, so I activate my headlamp now. I point at the object and say, "That beam, there." Adam's gaze follows the light of the headlamp, and I see his mouth opening.
"Yes, we found it! It must be them," he exclaims.
He brushes his fingers over the alien signs to remove the last crumbs of soil.
"Eve, you have to see this. Come quick,"
Adam says, as he motions her over to himself. It is great to see Adam so excited. It was always our goal to find the inhabitants of Proxima B. And here we have the first real clue, apart from the ominous message they previously broadcast. But the beam is about 5 meters under the ground and would have stayed buried forever if we had not started to build our base at this very spot.
"Can we decipher it?" asks Eve, who has just arrived and is gazing at the signs in fascination. "I wonder if they're trying to tell us something." Sorry, but the text is much too short to allow us to decipher it, I reply. And it is very unlikely they were addressing it to us. The inscription is 5 meters below the ground, in the middle of the forest. No one could have known we would be searching here. It is part of a ruin that might be very old. Eve will not let these facts spoil her mood, and I can well understand this. Since our landing, I have repeatedly wondered whether our voyage, our life, may be meaningless. If there is this ruin, Eve says, then there also must be others, newer ones, also featuring inscriptions that will teach us their language and culture. Perhaps it's just ornaments rather than a script, I offer. It is possible on this beam here, but they must have left written records somewhere. All cultures do that, Eve replies. This is not completely true, at least on Earth, but I do not want to spoil the mood today. Yes, I confirm. That's a good start. We are going to examine the beam and then dig to find more ruins. But first, we have to finish our radiation shield. Adam and Eve resume work without protest. For the first time in a long while, we're even making jokes. I'm going to deal with the beam when they are asleep, since I do not need this artificial rest period as much.